56.
First it was there, and then it was simply just gone, vanishing into thin air. What am I talking about? Well, an Air France jet still missing over the Atlantic. Hey, hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. The latest is that stormy weather over the Atlantic Ocean may have been what happened to the 228 people on board. All are feared dead at this point. France and Brazil sending military planes and ships to scour an incredibly vast area. That doesn't even do it justice of this ocean, what we're talking about, where the Airbus A330 might have come down during the flight from Rio de Janeiro to Paris. Here, right from the get-go at the top of the show, joining us now, DJ Frost. He's an international pilot, commercial pilot, and he knows this route because he's flown the exact route for Air France cargo from Brazil to Paris, and this is currently where that plane is missing. DJ, thanks for popping on here. We appreciate your time, man.
Oh, you're welcome, Kate. Nice to be here.
Tell us, you know, what's the deal? So there's this weather, something might have happened to the plane. I heard something today. They're saying, well, it could have exploded. You're a pilot. You know better than I. What are your thoughts as to what could have happened here?
Well, what really happens when you're flying out over the ocean where they were, out of radar contact, it's pretty much anything that goes on out there because it's dark. Of course, on the dark and stormy night, if an airplane runs into a tremendous amount of weather and strong storms, the engines could have sucked up a tremendous amount of water. Lightning could have taken out the electricity within the aircraft, which these airplanes, these new Airbuses, they're fly-by-wire. And what that means is the flight controls, they're not really moving a cable. They're just moving a little electrical switch, which then moves the flight controls. If anything happens within that electronic wiring or connection, wow, it's just like losing the power steering in your car. Have ever had that happen to you?
Yeah.
And it's just very difficult and challenging to control it. So there's a number of things. And really one important thing to remember is many times it's not just one thing that leads to an accident. It's a whole chain of events that leads to a catastrophe if this is in fact what happened.
Yeah. If that is what happened, is there any chance at all? I mean, this would be dramatic, the worst certainly in France's history. Any chance at all of finding survivors?
Well, people have asked me about that, of ditching in the Atlantic Ocean on a dark night, dark and stormy night. And I'd like to just make it sound like, well, imagine if you're running into a dark, unknown room, and you have your blindfold on, and you're trying to run into a room at full speed and land and sit in a chair without falling over. I mean, it's very disoriented at night trying to land on the water. So to have done that successfully would be quite a miracle if they were able to do that. The other thing that I am concerned about too is when they talked about the electrical problem is the smoke, which all of us know about the Swiss Air tragedy that happened off of Nova Scotia. When the cabin became enveloped with smoke, it was very difficult to control the aircraft, see, or even breathe. So that's always a possibility also.
Boy, and, you know, I mentioned this at the top. It's such the – and, you know, again, you flew this route. We're talking about just so many miles. There is a chance that they – who knows when they'll find this plane, right?
Oh, the ocean is so deep out there, and if it sank, just like the Air India one that went down in the North Atlantic that exploded over the North Atlantic, it took them many years to even figure out what happened to that because it did sink to the bottom of the ocean. And really what's interesting about going over the North Atlantic or any part of the Atlantic Ocean is there's no radar coverage. Like when you're flying from, say, Orlando to New York, you're always in radar coverage in the United States. And air traffic control can help you go around weather because they see it on their radar. And they always keep track of what's going on. flying across the Atlantic now is still the same way as it was for even my father when he flew in the 1960s. Every 10 degrees of movement, the airplane gives a position report on a squeaky, garbled, high-frequency radio. And I like to equate that to, it's like speaking through tin cans connected by string. Not very well to hear or do a quick communication if something is wrong.
Wow, and there's no, can't, with all the technology available, we can't change that?
Well, what happens is the countries that border the Atlantic Ocean, and some of these countries are either don't want to invest in that, they don't want to spend the money on creating that. And you know what? Really, the bottom line, as it all comes down to, is the, and it's been called tombstone regulation. Until enough people perish, things will not change. And we'll, yeah. Whatever that degree is that they reach, then maybe that change will happen.
Yeah, DJ, you know this. People are going to say, well, the pilot, there was a terrible storm. Couldn't the pilot have flown in a different direction? That's what people are saying then.
That's what people are saying. And when I told you there's no radar coverage, what is expected is when an aircraft takes off and goes into a non-radar environment, they're expected to stay on their course because there's other airplanes on certain courses too. If airplanes start turning left and right on off course, there's a greater chance of and probability of a collision happening out there. Another thing that can happen too is, I know some people are saying, well, maybe they could have turned around. What happens in twin-engine aircraft over the Atlantic Ocean is they reach a point of no return with their fuel. In other words, they can't just turn around and make it back to where they started that. They pretty much have to keep going. Now, they can deviate a little bit here and there off the track, but if there's a solid wall of weather, and if the weather radar is not painting it properly, if the airplane becomes enveloped with static charges, there's a lot of things then that could hamper the ability for those pilots to really understand what is coming up in front of them.
Yeah, boy, terrible situation. If they eventually do find this plane, could they find the black box?
They could, sure. Well, the black boxes are sending out a signal even right now as we speak. However, it depends how deep they are. If they're very, very deep, then the chance of that signal penetrating through the water is difficult to imagine. Another thing, too, is if there was people in a life raft, the life rafts also could contain an electric locator transmitter, an ELT, and that would also send out a distress signal. So by not having that already occur, that really is worrisome at this point.
Yeah, boy, no kidding. If a plane gets struck by lightning, I was in a plane that was struck by lightning, and, of course, luckily we didn't go down, but it was scary. It kind of went up the middle of the aisle, and I was on I was covering sports, and I was with the Dallas Cowboys, and everybody kind of yelled out, but it didn't bounce or anything like that, and then we flew on. So the lightning strike could bring it down, though, right?
Well, I wouldn't say that would do it specifically. If the lightning strike then caused a disruption in the electric signal to those flight controls or started a fire, a short circuit somewhere, and then started a fire, which then, you know, you see what I'm saying about that chain of events, then it could have been one of the causes that led to the final tragedy, which we're not sure about yet, but that's always a possibility.
Just absolutely terrible. DJ Frost, international commercial pilot, thanks so much for your insights into this. We appreciate it. Hang with us, everybody. Coming up next, we're going to talk about making money.
Have you ever noticed that celebrities are endorsing weight loss products and health aids? Do you think they endorse these products for free? I don't think so. I'm here to tell you, I'm not a celebrity, and Life Change Tea doesn't need one. Think about this. The product speaks for itself. What a concept. Our product works. You get healthy, and you'll lose weight. Summer's coming. Look and feel good. Order now. 928-308-0408. Write this down. 928-308-0408. Or you can order online. It's easy. GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. You have nothing to lose. but the excess around your, anyway, Life Change Tea. It speaks for itself. That's GetTheTea.com.
Are you wondering about your retirement portfolio? Are you confident that the financial advisor is experienced enough to combat climbing interest rates, taxes, and inflation? Stop guessing and go to the expert, Robert Chapman of the International Forecaster. When you subscribe to the International Forecaster, you get Robert Chapman's 45 years of experience and concise investment recommendations. Who needs sugar-coated excuses when you can get the cold hard facts and proven investment leads you can't get anywhere else? For a free introductory copy to Robert Chapman's International Forecaster, subscribe now at theinternationalforecaster.com or call 877-479-8178. Experience the difference. When you subscribe, you can email Robert Chapman directly to obtain investment advice tailored just for you. Don't wait another minute. Subscribe today at theinternationalforecaster.com or call 877-479-8178. That's 877-479-8178.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look. And I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Well, certainly we'll keep you up to date on what's going on with that Air France jet that just simply vanished and is missing. And you just heard, obviously, that conversation there with the pilot, DJ Frost, and the fact that you're talking about so many miles and so deep down in that ocean, it could be a long time before they find that plane. Absolutely tragic. In the meantime, also tragic is what's happening to so many people as far as suddenly finding themselves unemployed and trying to figure out what they're going to do next. You know, the thing is, and I say this all the time, you can stimulate your economy, I believe, in your own backyard. And the ways you can do that is take some of the skills that you learned and apply it to other things. Take your passions and just simply go for it. Now, that's what our next guest has done, Curtis Weaver, or nicknamed CW. He has survived and thrived on commission only sales. Yeah. You know how often people see jobs like that and say, oh, I could never do that. Oh, how could I ever do that? Obviously, he believed in himself and he knows how to do this. And I think a lot of people will find that they can transfer some of those sales skills and jump into jobs that are just commission only and still survive and thrive as well. CW, thanks so much for joining us here on America Tonight.
Well, it's a pleasure to, it's, kind of a sad night with the French, plane, mm-hmm. but life goes on and, we still gotta go on.
Yeah, no kidding. Let's wind the clock back and tell me, first of all, cause you've been doing, as I said, commission sales for 30 years. Tell us your story. How did you jump into it and how did you just make it work for you?
Well, actually, wow, that's a good question. I like that question because my mother got me into commission sales. I started out repairing cash registers. Now we're talking ancient times here. In those days, you had to wear a coat and tie to repair a cash register. And I noticed that the sales guys, they were wearing coat and ties too, but they seemed to be driving better cars, and their time seemed to be their own. And so it was something that always intrigued me, but I could never talk to anybody one-on-one. And it was my mother who was, of all things, a Tupperware dealer who changed my perspective, because she went from a very shy person that actually wouldn't drive at night, wouldn't drive over a bridge, wouldn't drive through a tunnel, and Tupperware changed her life. And I thought, well, if she can do it, I can do it. And I went to college, actually community college, and took classes, anything that would scare the crap out of me, public speaking, acting, and ballet. And it was those things that got me into the ability to be able to talk to people one-on-one or in a group session to be able to sell somebody something.
Wow, so that's great. I mean, obviously what you've shown there is you just stretched your boundaries. So there is something about that. Whatever it is, you get out of your comfort zone and push and push and push, I guess, against that line, and maybe it gives you confidence. Do you think that's what it is?
Well, you said the optimal word, which is comfort zone, and especially in this country. We get into a comfort zone. We don't think that we can leave it. Television draws us in. Movies draws us in. Entertainment pulls us away from the really important things of life. We always think everything's going to be okay, and a lot of people just wait till the world comes down around them. These times right now that we're having are times that you can really take advantage, especially commission sales, because commission sales, I don't care whether you talk, you're in a business. Mm-hmm. Radio sales is mm-hmm. commission sales. And so to be able to go out and actually put yourself on the line, which is what commission sales is all about, is just a very, very rewarding type of a profession. I know I'm a little older, but I look at commission salespeople as the kind of cowboys, because back in the days when a cowboy, he would go from ranch to ranch and work for a rancher for a period of time, then move on to another ranch and work for them. And one of my first commission sales jobs was car sales, and my wife and I just celebrated 29 years when she walked into a showroom and I sold her a car, and that's how we met. So commission sales can not only make you a living, but it can change your life in many ways.
Yeah, no kidding. You have a book out called Creating Customers for Life. So you've done it, obviously. You talked about, we already talked about stretching your boundaries, that whole thing, getting out of the comfort zone, which I totally agree with you 100%. Obviously, you've done different kinds of sales. And what did you find, like, for example, in the car business? Obviously, it worked well for your wife, but that can be a tough racket. How well did you do in the car business?
I did extremely well. My car ought to be shaped like a minivan, or my house ought to be shaped like a minivan, because that's what built it back in the 80s. But the sales or business in general, and it is basically treating people like you want to be treated. One of the best compliments I ever got in my life was a couple of years ago, actually just 2 years ago, walked into a dealership that was run by a guy that actually fired me back in the 80s. And I asked Paul what he would do today to if I was going to create a training course for car salesmen in the 2000 years, what would I do? And he said, CW, the car business has finally caught up to you. And that was probably one of the best compliments I ever received, because I always was a very low key salesman, and back in the 80s and 90s, that was not the way to sell cars. Everybody's always had the nightmare of being turned over to two and three people in a car dealership. And I would always sneak my people out the back so they didn't have to talk to my car manager. And it never made a lot of car managers happy. But if they let me stick around, I made them a lot of money.
Yeah, and that's the key, obviously. And one of the things I think, then, and you talk about this in your book, but it's so vital, and so many people don't get this, CW, is that you, when your customers are happy and you take care of them and you treat them like you want to be treated, like you said, then guess what? It's word of mouth, baby, and don't you get those referrals, and isn't that what it's about, right?
Well, right now, in this market, and I love talking to people, so in the Maryland, D.C. market, I sell retractable awnings in the off or in their season. It's only a 4-month season, so it's a lot of fun for me to do. I can make $80,000 to $100,000 in 4 to 5 months, visiting people's homes and allowing them to use their deck or patio, which they couldn't use, and basically it's just giving them something they need, and allowing them to decide what they want. You don't sell people. First of all, you have to pick a good product if you're in sales, or if you're in a business, or you want to go create a business. If you're laid off today, if you've been downsized, quote, or fired, which is the old term,
mm-hmm.
You find a product that is quality. And then you don't have to sell anything. You present it. You treat person like you would want to be treated. And they will accept the product. They don't buy it. They want the product. That's why you're there in the first place. When I was in management in car sales, the worst thing you want to do is walk onto a car lot. I mean, that's everybody's worst nightmare.
Right, absolutely.
And car salesmen would prejudge a customer and walk away because they thought that person wasn't going to buy a car. And when I was in management, I would say, look, if they're over 16 and they walk on a car lot, they want to buy a car because they don't want to confront those 16 managers that everybody throws at you. So I don't care whether it's the 80s, 90s, 2000, whether it's 2030, people want to buy something. If you treat them well, they will come back.
Yeah, excellent, excellent advice. All right, the book is called Creating Customers for Life. Quickly, because we're running out of time. CW,
and actually,
somebody...
if they, and I don't usually do this, but on this evening's program, if they go to my, actually just email me at cccweaver@gmail.com, I will send them an e-book, a copy of Creating Customers for Life at no charge to them.
Wow, that's excellent. CW, thanks. We'll have you on again. We appreciate the time. Hang with us, everybody.
Are you concerned for the safety of your loved ones? Listen closely to this message from pepperspray.com. Every 22 seconds a violent crime is committed. America has changed, and your personal safety is your first priority. Be smart. Be safe. Trust Pepper Spray instead of your luck. Pepperspray.com is the only website you'll ever need for all of your non-lethal self-defense supplies. Pepperspray.com carries one of the largest assortments of pepper spray and personal safety products on the web. From big to small, we have it all. Pepper spray, mace, animal repellents, stun guns, and tasers. Pepperspray.com also carries a large assortment of products for personal, home, child, and pet safety. Enter SAFE in the coupon box and you'll receive a special discount off of your order. So what are you waiting for? Go to pepperspray.com. That's pepperspray.com. Or call 1-800-908-9988 today.
You're listening to GCN. Genesis Communications Radio Network.
Are you concerned about an economic downfall? Would you like to have more money to invest in precious metals, food, and safety of your loved ones? With the Debt Crisis Solutions Program, you can finally be debt-free without paying another cent to creditors and not have to file bankruptcy. This is not debt counseling, settlement, or debt consolidation, which may have serious legal and tax consequences. With our program, you will not pay another penny to your creditors or collectors. Protect your home, paycheck, and bank account from any lawsuits and restore your credit history. We also provide mortgage modification services, which can lower your mortgage payments without refinancing. If you're facing foreclosure problems, we can help. Finally, proven debt solutions that work for the people. Become debt-free in 90 days. Doing nothing doesn't make the debt go away. Call Debt Crisis Solutions and speak to an advisor absolutely free. Call 718-615-0123. That's 718-615-0123 today.
Millions of Americans are beginning to realize the enormity of the economic and political problems facing the U.S. and the world. And for the first time in their lives, they are feeling the need for preparedness. Ready Reserve Foods has been in continuous operation, manufacturing the finest in dehydrated foods for almost 40 years. Ready Reserve is the manufacturer. Unlike other companies that just broker canned foods, Ready Reserve controls the quality from start to finish with double enameled cans and nitrogen packaging. When purchasing from Ready Reserve Foods, you are buying factory direct at wholesale prices. Other companies are quoting delivery times of 1 to 2 months, while Ready Reserve ships within 5 business days. Many companies do not even offer a catalog. We will be more than happy to send a catalog to you free of charge. Dial 1-800-453-2202, 1-800-453-2202, or visit our website at readyreservefoods.com. Factory direct, wholesale pricing from Ready Reserve Foods. Call us at 1-800-453-2202.
I was drinking more than I should, and I knew it. I just made excuses and wrote it off as stress from work or problems at home. I thought I was functional. But then I realized that just being functional wasn't any kind of life at all. That's when I heard about a free CD from the National Institute for Alcohol Recovery. Turns out it's different from anything else out there, including 12-step or hypnosis. It's based on the latest research, and it really turned things around for me.
This free alcohol recovery CD tells you about everything you need to succeed in the privacy of your own home. We guarantee it. We are so sure of your success with our alcohol recovery program that if you can find a better home recovery program anywhere, we'll pay for it. So you have absolutely nothing to lose. For a free CD, call 1-800-309-0958. That's 1-800-309-0958. 1-800-309-0958.
The tail end of that conversation with CW. How about that? You can get a copy of Z Book for free. Yeah, you don't have to pay anything. So he's got some secrets that could help you. And he shares the thing that that I say so often on this show. I mean, that's our similarity, that there's no reason why you should be down and out. If unemployment's almost 10%, if you've lost a job, if you've been through the ringer lately, there is a way to get out of your comfort zone. There is a way to, I like to say it all the time, survive and thrive. So take advantage of that. It's C.C. Weaver, C.C. Weaver, W-E-A-V-E-R, as he said, at gmail.com. C.C. Weaver at gmail.com. Some good advice that may help you in whatever it is you're striving to do next. So how about the audience? Do they love this or what? We're already giving you a free show. Yeah, and that's not all. Yeah, you haven't seen anything yet. Because coming up later on this show, guess what we're giving away? Mm-hmm. Yep, we're giving away GPS system and the backup camera. Finally, we're doing that. I'm so excited, and we're having a drawing for it. It's too late now if you didn't qualify. We had people that would call up, and they won the book The Match, one of the New York Times bestsellers. It's by a guy named Mark Frost. And now what's happening? Just in time for Father's Day, baby, you're going to get a copy of this person got a copy of The Match. But also, the people that qualified have a chance to take home a Nexstar 14BC GPS system. That way you can always navigate your way to some of the best golf courses, because that's what the book The Match is all about. And as somebody who just spent a couple of days on the golf course watching the latest PGA stop, which was the Colonial in Fort Worth, that sounds pretty darn good to me. Hey, not good, of course, is what's happened and what we talked about and opened the show with is this missing plane. 228 people, and the plane was going from Rio de Janeiro, which is an incredible place. You can imagine the time some of these people were having. It disappeared basically overnight as it went into an area with massively strong turbulence, probably crashed into the Atlantic Ocean. And that's the theory anyway. So the passengers and the crew came from 30 different areas, 30 different nations, including two Americans, Michael and Ann Harris. So the question becomes, what made the jet disappear? What effect did the lightning have? We just talked about that. What could ultimately the thousand things that could go wrong on this plane that would bring it down? And apparently, if you listen to what some people have said, the first couple of hours of that flight would be, you know, sort of uneventful. You're just going along because it's a very long flight. It's an 11-hour flight. And the last thing that they have is they have a succession of messages that signal something unforeseeable. They're saying, you know, basically there's no contact with the crew, and they just have this quick 4-minute exchange of messages to the company's maintenance computer saying that several pieces of aircraft equipment were at fault or had broken down. So that spells big problems. A little bit after those messages, there was nothing. Then the assumption is that was the impact of the plane that happened across the Atlantic. And most likely the theory is that the Airbus was probably closer to Brazil than to Africa when it crashed. But there's no way to know for sure. It could have been too difficult with the turbulence and flying. The chances of finding any survivors, obviously very low. It's catastrophic for Air France, obviously for the people aboard, the two Americans, Brazilians, Canadians. You know, you like I said, you had a list of a lot of people from all kinds of places. So the two Americans were the Harris folks, Michael Harris, 60 years old, his wife Anne, 54, and the company were apparently there, maybe taking a little bit of a jaunt to see some property, and I say property because Michael Harris was a geologist in Rio de Janeiro. So he worked for a company. In fact, he worked for the largest U.S.-based independent natural gas and oil producer, Devon Energy, in Oklahoma. So that makes sense of why they would be there. They were traveling for some kind of a seminar and a little bit of a vacation. So very, very sad. And I'm sure there are a lot of other stories just like that one with other people and couples and whatnot. Nothing's being excluded at this point, except for that the turbulence in the area is very, very strong, and other planes were able to pass through it without any incident, but this one, who knows, they had a problem with the electrical system, but still no signs of the plane right now. What might have made the plane disappear? Don't know. Could have been a couple of different things. Very sad that it went down. If anything happens, we're on the air, obviously. We'll inform you about what they've found out, but there's not too much that's known at this point. If you ever listen to America Tonight, here's what the deal is. We zig and zag all over the place. I like to say this, and I mean this in the best sense. This show is really for all of us who have a little bit of the ADD. We're so busy, we're doing a million things, life is coming at us 150 miles an hour, and you want to be informed, you want to know what's happening, you want to sound off. I mean, this is why this is a great name for the show, America Tonight. So it's your chance to be a part of the show, too. 800-259-5791, 800-259-5791. Here's the thing, whenever you have these planes go down, what do you think of? It is kind of, I don't know, as somebody who's flown a lot, I have flown so, so much, I guess. And I know I've said this a ton on this show, so forgive me if you've heard this before and I sound like I'm just rattling off. But I believe what my grandmother told me when I was little. When your time's up, your time's up. And I don't go on to planes, whether it's long, and I've had very long trips, or kind of short jaunts. I don't really think, geez, I hope I'm going to be okay, and that his plane's all right, and the pilot knows what he's doing. I just start to question and freak out and wonder about, you know, my safety, because certainly if I'm getting on the plane, there's nothing I can do about it. I certainly hope, at least from the pilot standpoint, that I have the best guy that I could possibly have flying the machine I'm getting into. And we know what happened in Buffalo that was questionable, certainly there in that Continental flight. But I just don't think that you can fret over things like that. Otherwise, if you have that fear of flying, you either get treatment for it and figure out how you're going to get on a plane, or you just never get on a plane. And there are a lot of people who suffer from that. You might be listening to me. You might be one of those people that when you hear about these crashes, it just adds, you know, fuel to the fire. You know, that's why I don't fly. And there are a lot of famous people that don't fly. Aretha Franklin, forever and ever, has not flown because of that horrible fear of flying. John Madden, the whole Madden Cruiser thing. I think most people know this, but could there be a more popular man who just retired from the booth, the great, incredible announcer in the NFL? But he would have to go to games very far away from where he lived in the Bay Area, just outside of it, to travel to all these places on the East Coast, etc., because he could not get on a plane. And when you have these crashes, and especially when you have these big, horrific headlines, or we're talking about it here, you have all these people probably dead from all these different countries, that's when it really, that anxiety kicks in for people who suffer from that and just cannot force themselves to get on a plane no matter what the circumstances are. All right, the big story of the day besides the vanishing plane, sad story, is the GM plant's closing. We talked about this on our last show. A lot of jobs will be lost as a result of what's happening with this bankruptcy. 14 factories plus 3 warehouses, and you also had some distributorships that will be hurt as well. Probably the biggest, in fact it is the biggest closure, would be this assembly facility they have in Michigan that makes one of the more popular cars, the Chevy Malibu and the Pontiac. That's going to go down. Also in Spring Hill, Tennessee, they make Saturns there. They've got a truck plant in Pontiac, Michigan. Got about 1,400 people there. That's going to be done as well. And I think a lot of the auto workers knew that this was happening, but were hoping that it was going to remain open. There's that thing where you just really don't want to believe that this is going to happen, and you're gathering around at the United Auto Workers Local 594 in Pontiac, and everybody's talking about it, and not thinking that this was going to be ultimately what was going to be your fate. Of all the facilities, you got 7 in Michigan, you got 3 in Ohio, 1 in Delaware, 1 in Tennessee, as I mentioned, got another one in Virginia and Massachusetts, Florida loses one, Indiana loses one, New York loses one, and then some of them are going to be placed on what they call standby status, meaning they could reopen if the demand bounces back, And you're going to have lower fixed costs, I think, per car. Lower, and that makes sense because they're gonna have to be a lean operation. They're gonna have to roll these cars out. They're gonna have to design cars that people want to buy. I mean, that's gonna be the other thing. I've mentioned this as well. Coming up, we're gonna let you hear what some of the people had to say about losing their jobs. Some of them, as I said, shocked. Others thinking this was inevitable. That's Round the Bend here on ATN.
Either very smart or incredibly stupid.
Recognize that sound? If you're taking vitamins and minerals in pill form, that's exactly where many are ending up. Hello, my name is Dr. David Friedman. According to the Physician's Desk reference, vitamins in a pill form are 10% absorbed. So for every $100 you spend on vitamins, that's $90 you're flushing down the toilet. In fact, orderlies at hospitals call these bedpan bullets. Start absorbing the nutrients you swallow. Introducing Chews for Health, a delicious tasting chewable containing 16 proteins, superfruits, sea vegetables, and antioxidants. Stop paying for nutrients your body doesn't use. Order Choose for Health today. 1-800-210-1922. The first 300 callers will receive a free copy of my best-selling CD, America's Unbalanced Diet. Isn't it time you stop flushing your vitamins down the toilet? 1-800-210-1922 or go to orderchoose.com.
This is Alex Jones for American Tax Settlement. We have received news that the IRS is currently accepting reduced settlements on back taxes, and millions of consumers may be eligible for this reduction to save thousands of dollars. If any of you out there owe $10,000 or more in back taxes to the IRS, we have created an open phone line with American Tax Settlement. For all Alex Jones listeners to see if you qualify for a settlement with the IRS to save thousands, the number to call is 1-800-506-5904. Millions of taxpayers now may be eligible for this settlement to save thousands of dollars. Don't risk the IRS coming after you and garnishing your wages or seizing your property. American Tax Settlement specializes in negotiating with the IRS on your behalf, keeping the IRS off your back and saving consumers millions of dollars. If you owe $10,000 or more in taxes to the IRS, the number to call is 1-800-506-5904. That's 1-800-506-5904. Call today.
You worry. If you don't, you don't understand the situation. Hi. Summer's coming, and now's the time to learn self-sufficiency. If you're going to eat from nature's bounty of wild edible plants, remember, there's a learning curve. Experience is the best teacher, but that means time. To speed it up, you'll need to build on the wisdom of a teacher who has lived it. Author Linda Runyon is that teacher. Her Wild Food Knowledge Package is the crash course. The DVD gives you a 3-hour overview of her world directly from her. The book gives you an in-depth reference with all of the insider know-how you'll ever need. And her wild cards are your portable summary and cheat sheet for your field work. This 3-pronged learning system will take you from spectator to scholar to gourmet survivalist in weeks, not years. Folks, I can vouch that Linda's the real deal. She's my mom, and I watched her do it. So go to ofthefield.com or call 888-51-EAT-FREE. Start now. Knowledge is power. Better take action. I think a storm's coming.
Year ago, we were counting on the best year we were ever going to have. We thought with the Malibu coming in and everything, we were gearing up for three shifts. So now you're down to, you know, hey, are we going to survive?
I'm really nervous about the bankruptcy situation, but, you know, you win and you lose in some situations. But at the same time, you have to just take the fall. Once you hit rock bottom, there's only one way to go back, and that's up.
All right, so you heard some reaction, people losing their jobs in many places across America, and I mentioned some of them, obviously. The hardest hit, of course, is Michigan. And, hey, GM, Michigan and GM go hand in hand, don't they? So there is some standby possibility with assembly plant or two. They don't know how many specifically will be laid off from each factory because there are other places where there could be layoffs, so there are still many that could be affected. Between 18,000 and 20 probably ultimately lose their gigs. 15,000 work at some of the plants, the places that I mentioned, you know, went through the states, etc. And I guess they'll get a severance package. That's the good news, so they're not getting thrown out the door with nothing. But that's pretty much it. It's pretty bleak. There's warehouses like in Boston and Jacksonville, Florida, and Columbus, Ohio, that are also going to go down. Pretty tough, I think, also on the towns where the factories are located, because there's not a lot of options in some of these places. So the towns are going to suffer. One of the towns I'm very familiar with, I went to school in Ohio, and there's some great people that live in Mansfield, Ohio, and you've got a stamping plant there where you have maybe 860 people or so, and what are you going to do? That goes down, so the people of Mansfield are these hard-working, dedicated folks who are doing whatever they can in the assembly sense in this plant, and that plant is set to close, but set to close next year. So a little bit of a reprieve anyway for them, as it's not going down right away. Jobs will probably spread beyond GM itself. And we've talked about this a ton, because you got to realize this, you know, it's like a spider. There are a lot of legs to this thing. You have dealerships, which we've already mentioned before. You have the part suppliers and others dependent on the auto industry itself are all going to feel this, including the towns. As I said, some of these are small towns. So if the plant closings, ultimately it's like whatever, 20,000 jobs, that's a lot of jobs that are lost. That will certainly change the shape of many of the areas where those people were living. Here's a follow-up, because I got a ton of email. When I say ton, if I get 10 emails on one thing, and one, whatever it was I was talking about, and I was talking about Susan Boyle, the fact that she was taken to a private clinic. They say she's suffering from exhaustion. Do you all know who Susan Boyle is? You know who she is. Britain's Got Talent. The singer, 48 years old, said she had never been kissed, all this other stuff, blah, blah, blah. Said she was emotionally drained after Saturday's show. She was beaten by a dance act, so, boom, she came in second. And I guess she was so ill that they decided to take her to a clinic by an ambulance, and it was her. And they were worried in London. They were assessing her mental health. And that was voluntary, the ride in the ambulance. But the Priory Clinic is where she was admitted. Nobody's saying anything because, of course, the patient confidentiality. But she's there, and what her brother is saying is, look, she's in a pressure cooker. Everybody knows what that's like, and she's just a ordinary, plain old woman from Blackburn, Scotland. And now she's catapulted in front of the world stage, and while she loves it, she's not a seasoned performer. Isn't that interesting? That 15 minutes of fame can just knock the breath out of some people, and obviously that's what's happened here. I mean, she stunned people when she stepped up to the mic and belted out, "I Dreamed a Dream." Yeah, I mean, stunned people. Do you know it's one of the all-time most watched videos on YouTube? Most watched. I don't even know what it's up to now. Millions. Millions. It's incredible. But Saturday, it was disappointing because there were a lot of people in the crowd waiting to see what was going to happen. She got a standing ovation. The judges gave her a standing ovation, all that sort of stuff. But she did not win it. So I guess the enormity of that whole thing just knocked her over. She had a very, very rough, rough week. Speaking of being in the spotlight, all-time icons, woman who was massively in the spotlight, Marilyn Monroe, became branded as that voluptuous, easy for me to say, blonde who just oozed that sex appeal. At least that's what CNN says anyway. That's true. That's what she was known for, right? Who doesn't know the wind picture where her skirt's blown up? You know what I'm talking about. Well, anyway, apparently there are all these mysterious photos now that are going to be put together and released. There's a collection that was discovered by Life, and there are these unpublished photographs that show an innocent girl, just 24 years old, starting out much different, the Norma Jean look than the Marilyn Monroe look. More natural and not glamorized, those big photos you see of her, because that's the Marilyn Monroe you see. The photographs of her are mostly the cheesecake posed, really made up one. So I think it'd be kind of interesting to see her not all dolled up like that. I'd be curious to see those photographs. I guess they're gonna release them. Interesting, and this is why I bring it up. You know, we do birthdays on this show. Marilyn Monroe would have been Monday. Marilyn Monroe would have been 83 years old. Yeah. Still could have been living. But, of course, her death, you know, that mysterious overdose thing, she died at the age of merely 36. And she was somebody who had mental breakdowns that became public ultimately in the end. A lot of things were swirling around her, including rumors of an affair with President John F. Kennedy and several other people in Hollywood, and ultimately the pressure was incredible for Marilyn Monroe, so that what was left behind was this glam gal image. But they say that there are about 15 million photographs in the life archives that go all the way back to the 1850s. Isn't that incredible? Wouldn't you love to just go into those archives? I'm sure they don't let just people in there, but they started publishing in 1936. And then they transferred, of course, just a couple years ago, they started transferring the photographs into a digital archive. I'm sure that's how they're finding all these things. Oh, look, here's some photographs that were never released. And, you know, we have the famous white halter dress one with the skirt blowing up and what was done for her role in The 7 Year Itch. But what about all these photographs? Because the last person she sat for, a pretty famous photographer, his name was Bert Stein. And that happened in 1962, I guess. She died on August 5th, 1962. And who knows what would have been. But she became an icon in her death. And I, for one, would be... I don't have a fascination with Monroe, but I would be very, very curious to see those photographs. I mentioned that hurricane season kicked off on Monday, so this was the first day as we pass into Tuesday of the hurricane season, and everybody's speculating about when the season's first storm is going to form in the Atlantic. But there's already been that tropical depression that we talked about, so officially the gates have flung open, and the first storm was powerful enough to get a name. That's when it's officially a storm. And the first storm was named Anna. Yeah. Ooh, you look at those photographs. I was on a weather site. And it looks like it really is bearing down on the East Coast. But no, that was that tropical depression that formed and then dissipated ultimately. That's the good news. You love hearing that. Oh, it dissipated off the coast. But it's supposed to be a really, really rough hurricane season. You know what comes after Anna? Bill. Yeah, because they wanted to name some of the hurricanes, as all of you know, after men and women, not just sticking with the women. After that, you have Claudette. You want to know what's last on the list? Wanda. Unless they go beyond that. There's even a Kate this year. Remember, you can shoot me an email day or night to americatonight.net.
He's looking at you, kid.